Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, May 13th. I'm Ray Graff. Today on the show, we discuss common questions and misconceptions about cannabis. 16 states, including Massachusetts, Vermont, and New York, have legalized recreational use of the stuff. The legal marijuana industry in the U.S. generated over $13 billion last year, and that's growing fast. To help us better understand this industry and its effects on society, we have two guests today. Thomas Winstanley is the Director of Marketing at Theory Wellness in Great Barrington. Also on the line, Mark Aronoff, a mental health counselor and author of the book The Cannabis Craze, A Practical Guide for Parents and Teens. The number to call with your questions is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or voxpop at wamc.org is the email address. Thomas at Mark and the Devil's Lettuce coming up. Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. 16 states, including Massachusetts, Vermont, and New York, have legalized recreational use of cannabis. According to the Defense Information Systems Agency, as many as 25 states will have legalized it in the coming year. And according to New Frontier data, the legal marijuana industry in the U.S. generated an estimated $13.6 billion in 2019, with 340,000 jobs devoted to the handling of plants. To help us better understand this growing industry, two experts today. One is Mark Aronoff, CEO and founder of TLC Consultants, a consulting firm specializing in wellness seminars and executive mentoring for companies and individuals. Mark has worked with IBM, Pfizer, and AT&T. He's also the author of The Cannabis Craze, A Practical Guide for Parents and Teens, which takes a look at the psychology behind adolescent use of marijuana. Mark focuses on the effects of marijuana on quality of life. Thomas Winstanley is a Berkshire's native and the director of marketing for Theory Wellness, a vertically integrated cannabis brand in Massachusetts. In his 2 years at Theory, he's helped the company transition from medical to recreational sales and helped support their growth through public education and demystifying the state's emerging cannabis industry. If you have a question, give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. You can email us as well, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Mark Aronoff, welcome back, sir. How are you?
Thank you, Reagan. Good afternoon. I'm well.
Nice to have you here, and we will talk to you about what you have learned. It's been a couple of, well, has it been a year or two since you've been on?
I think it has. It's been a little while.
Yeah.
And, Yeah, this last year has been profound for many therapists, licensed therapists in the region, and on a number of levels. Certainly, I would imagine cannabis has, I'd be curious to hear from Thomas, but has seen, once it opened up again, quite the relief factor for the internalized stresses of the day.
Interesting.
My private practice has been off the charts in terms of clients. So, in terms of cannabis, I think it's as busy as it's ever been. And people enjoying,
Well, I'll tell you what, we will get to the societal and psychological aspects in a moment. I wanted to talk to Thomas Winstanley about some of the business aspects. Thomas, welcome back to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Ray. Thanks for having me back on.
You know, there was an article in the New York Times last week, I guess, by Jane Margolis, a land grab for a piece of New York's marijuana business, and Massachusetts ahead of New York by a couple of years. And I'll quote a little of this article. It's a fascinating piece. The board that will oversee the rollout has yet to be appointed. But already the rush is on to get a piece of what could be a $4.2 billion industry in the Empire State. Let's go back a couple of years, a few years now, for Theory Wellness and what hoops you had to jump through in Massachusetts, what growth you had to make as a business when recreational cannabis hit the streets legal cannabis hit the streets in Massachusetts. What sort of gyrations did you guys have to get through to get to that point?
Sure. And it's a great question, Ray. And I think everybody is looking at New York and saying, what's next and how does this start to unfold? Certainly, we've gone through this as Massachusetts emerged into the recreational market. And I think something that's very important to be conscious of is we started out as medical. and medical helped us understand the impacts and some of the process in terms of making that transition. We're going to be seeing New York go through a similar transition. That's not exactly one-to-one, but it's not without its challenges, everything from compliance, funding, and really making sure that quality control is there. There are a lot of reasons why there's so much regulations around cannabis, because we want to make sure, especially when you roll out into a mass market, no pun intended, for Massachusetts, that you have all of the right variables in place to promote a very responsible usage. This is something that I think we are starting to get more and more comfortable with as time goes on, but you're never short on challenges, everything from operational workflows to product supply, all the way through to funding. It's still challenges. These are still challenges that we're learning from today, and we're going to continue to learn from them as time goes on. And I will say, especially for New York, it's very impressive to see them roll out likely one of the most progressive policies around legalization that the country has seen. And so we think they're off to a great start, but there's certainly going to be challenges down the road. And we're watching very closely to see how these things start to transpire.
It is Cannabis Today on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. Mark Aronoff is the author of A Practical Guide for Parents and Teens, The Cannabis Craze. Thomas Wynn Stanley is a Berkshire's native and director of marketing for Theory Wellness, which is a retailer in Massachusetts. One of the things, Thomas, is, you know, it's still federally a controlled substance. In the past episodes of this program that you have been on, we talked about the issues of getting financing, getting real estate, whether you rent, whether you buy the property. All of those things were difficult or at least cumbersome in the beginning. Are those things easing up now?
They are, in certain ways. So right now we have the Safe Banking Act that has just cleared Congress, and I believe it's headed to the House. These things are put in place to help alleviate some of those challenges. However, we still have a very long way to go. With the classification of cannabis as a class one substance, we are still going to have significant troubles over time as this market starts to get to really start to take effect in some of these new and emerging states that are looking into it. And I think something that most folks may not be as familiar with is, you know, as I mentioned, the rollout of the legislation that really promotes social equity is a wonderful thing to see in New York. However, without access to banking, this creates a lot of problems for those folks trying to get into the industry. And while we are seeing progressive steps made in terms of the regulation of cannabis, the access to banking and finances, there are still very significant challenges that we are still working through today, and we hope to see further progress. The Safe Banking Act, which most folks have probably heard of today, it takes a step in that direction, but it is still creating, there are still challenges that are going to need to be overcome, especially if we want a free and equitable market. And that's really what we at Theory are hoping to see down the road. We're not quite there. We're taking steps. We still think there are further steps that can be taken to address some of the challenges and the hurdles, especially to protect a free market.
We're talking cannabis today on Vox Pop. The number is 800-348-2551. Thomas Wynn Stanley is Director of Marketing for Theory Wellness. Mark Aronoff is CEO and founder of TLC Consultants. And what exactly, Mark Aronoff, does TLC Consultants do?
Well, we are working with a number of organizations on last year in particular on topics that are timely, including webinars primarily in the realm of loneliness and isolation, anxiety reduction, resiliency. There's some topics along diet, nutrition. And my work as a consultant in that field is really not related to cannabis, to be honest. It's more gearing toward what we would call wellness across the spectrum for adults at various corporations.
Well, let's talk about wellness for a minute. Now, you wrote a great book, The Cannabis Craze, A Practical Guide for Parents and Teens, and you have been on this program at least twice, and you are not one of the camp that says marijuana or cannabis should never be used at all by anybody. You're not on that side.
Correct. Correct.
You know, this past year, with the pandemic and the lockdown and many people at home, there has been a great deal of stress. We had a psychiatrist on a few days ago on Medical Monday, and we were talking about the levels of stress that people have dealt with. In your experience and in counseling people, we know that it's been a stressful and terrible year. Does marijuana make it worse and make it better? I mean, what are you seeing?
So that's an excellent question. Marijuana, interestingly, is not necessarily the issue. It's what are the underlying factors that a person brings to the table while using marijuana. I often mention, I might have mentioned this before, when I'll ask a client, so do you think marijuana is medicine? And they'll often say, absolutely, yes, yes, yes. And I'll ask, what is the ailment? And sometimes they have a direct answer and sometimes they don't. Marijuana has been around for thousands of years worldwide, religious, recreational, therapeutic uses. It was actually legal federally in the United States for most of our history. 1910, 1920 brought a dramatic increase, and then that led to a real backlash in 29 states approximately prohibited, and then Nixon, of course, kicked in the 1971 war on drugs. We've come a long way in terms of our understanding what brings a human being, what brings a person to using any recreational drug versus that fine line between, let's say, stress reduction and what becomes an escape and an abuse and an overuse, and in particular for couples, let's say, you know, where one or the other spouse might be checking out. With the question of marijuana, there's the line there, and I'm interested in science, and I'm interested in statistics and that kind of thing. There's actually an interesting study that started in 2018 that'll run for, I believe, the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's going to look at, maybe you heard about this, 10,000 kids. They started at age 9 or 10. They'll follow them to the age of 20. And this is called the ABCD study, mm-hmm. Which stands for the adolescent brain cognitive development. You know, there's no question there's an increase in teens using it and the perception that it's safe. The research is mixed. Some say not a problem. Some say some problems later on. And this will be an interesting study in 10 years. So, you know, let's keep in touch, Ray.
Okay.
The statistics are coming out. It's still to be determined. But the average person this last year, absolutely. It's been a tenfold increase in people seeking counseling for a variety of reasons. But we look at these questions, and this is where science is really saying marijuana is not the problem, is what are the conditions that are coming in from the environment, from the home, from mom and dad, from what are the pre-existing problems? You know, the idea is marijuana a gateway drug? I tend to say no. Okay. I say we may try it, but where are you at in your life before you use marijuana?
Hey, Mark, we're going to take a quick break here. I apologize. Thomas Winstanley is joining us. Mark Aronoff is here. We're talking about cannabis today. We're a little overdue for a break. 800-348-2551 is our number, and we'll be right back. Fox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551 is the number, 1-800-348-2551. It's Cannabis Today with Thomas Winstanley of Theory Wellness and Mark Aronoff, who wrote The Cannabis Craze, A Practical Guide for Parents and Teens. Let's grab a call here, and then I want to quiz Thomas Winstanley on business during the pandemic. Let's go to Myron in Milan. You're on.
Yes, good afternoon, and can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Thank you. I've been smoking marijuana for about 50 years, and what it's led to are two things, Ray.
Okay.
It's made me change my name to Little Nipper,
okay.
Little Nipper,
all right.
And I've changed my clothing style to baggy pants and a fez.
A fez.
Okay.
How is that looking
so
for you?
Nobody can tell me that it doesn't affect the mind.
All right.
You know,
affect the mind.
Myron, I got to tell you, it's been a long time, my friend, and it's great hearing from you, and the Fez works for you. Thank you very much. It's been a long time since Myron's checked in. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Yes, yes. Thomas Winstanley of Theory Wellness. Yeah, you know, it has been, I assume that you guys were considered sort of necessary, a necessary business, and you stayed open during the entire pandemic.
So actually, we did shut down in March and April of last year during, as part of recreational cannabis was not actually considered a necessary business. However, our medical operations did continue. During that time, the state of Massachusetts actually saw a very large growth in the number of new patient registrations. So what ended up happening was the actual recreational program was suspended, and that was likely one of the most challenging times, I think, that we faced as a company altogether. However, the medical program did persist through, and we did see this very large growth in patient counts. It was about a year ago on May 25th, Memorial Day, was when we opened back up for recreational sales. And since then, we've slowly been kind of returning back to our normal form 1 year later. However, it was certainly a very challenging time for, I think, everybody. Our business was no exception to that either.
We had an email here from Mike. Came in very early this morning. Mike, very excited about this program. Mike says, I have years of experience cultivating cannabis and would like to make it a career. Where do I send my resume? I want to know about green jobs, what will be available, how to best position myself for a career in New York. Thomas, what do you know about how this developed in Massachusetts? Give us a little history.
Sure. So, you know, there's certainly going to be an expected increase in the number of jobs available in the cannabis industry. Recently, I think it was projected that they were looking at somewhere to the tune of $92 billion would be coming back into the economy through cannabis. When you look at New York State as a whole, it is projected to be the second largest market in the entire country around cannabis. And so what comes with that, not only is tax revenue, an increase in jobs, but also everything from manufacturing, retail, production. And so I think probably as recreational cannabis does come forward in New York, there's going to be a very large ramping up. And I would say be sure to keep in touch with brands that are coming to New York, follow the news stories, and really take the time to try to find an operation that seems to align with what you're looking to get out of the industry. There is going to be so many jobs from customer service across the board. And so depending on what you're looking to get into, I'm sure there will be a lot of noise around these jobs as they start coming forward.
Our number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Thomas Winstanley of Theory Wellness joins us, Mark Aronoff as well. And Mark, you have been on, and we've talked about your book to some extent, and also some of the misperceptions about cannabis, and I wonder if you could talk us through some of those.
Well, the book is geared toward teen use of marijuana, which is obviously not a legal situation. However, interestingly, in our culture is widely accepted. And I think I would imagine the law enforcement is pretty much, for the most part, within a recreational context under an ounce for kids under the age of 21 has not pursued this as a and rightly so. Some of the problems that we're looking at is science just simply doesn't know to what degree the effects on the developing brain. So that's a question. I'm more interested in how we relate to each other in terms of culture, society. I lived in Europe for many years. I'll share this story very quickly. And it's a very different world in Europe where marijuana exists, but it's often smoked really across the board with a little bit of tobacco. It's seen as a social and not a let's get ripped mentality. And that's what I see sometimes, and I imagine this is my profession as well, among young people, there's this just absolute extreme of let's check out.
whether it's drinking or marijuana. And if there was one message I could give the youth of today, it would be moderation. And that's where the book also explores, is looking at what are some of the motivations, why are you smoking as a young person? Literally, they're starting this study at the age of 10. I think the average teen starts around 14, 13 years old. But the misperception that might be also for adults is, am I truly, is it stress reduction or is it something else? And if it's medicine, if it's truly medicine, that's excellent. But I think it's important, and I think it's important to know, what is the ailment? What am I treating? Is it chronic pain? Is it anxiety? Is it a phobia? Is it, you know, what are? And then if you do have an understanding of self-awareness, is marijuana the only option? So sometimes we rely on drugs for just, and it's, this is where we're getting beyond just recreational, for treating ourselves medically without, I guess, a deeper understanding of what the ailments are. And I think that's perhaps a road that is worth exploring.
Mark Aronoff joins us today. Also, Thomas Wynn Stanley. It's Cannabis on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. Wem is in Amherst. Wem, you're on.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. My concern when I hear about boosterism for legalization of pot is that I'm a healthcare provider, and I know from my practice that underage residents acquire marijuana through now legal channels. And I also know that it is indisputable how damaging it is for what's called neuronal pruning for underage users. So there are real health concerns in expanding the availability of marijuana. And I wonder how your guests feel about that.
All right, well, let's go to Mark on that first and then to Thomas.
So the latest research that I'm showing is it's initially, there was some real, mostly anecdotal. It's not hard science yet to know the long-term causal effects of marijuana use among teens. And I do agree that to the extremes that kids may use it, that it is problematic. And I do agree with you. Studies have shown that there are these long-term neural concerns of how the brain develops into, let's say, a functional adult with full-fledged motivation and healthy self-esteem. But I will say this, other studies have shown that there really is not a problem, that marijuana is not the primal cause. They'll look at other factors. So we're always talking about causation in science. And it's just hard to pinpoint the actual causes. I agree with the caller who just called in. There's been an increase in certain emergency room conditions of toxic reactions to overuse. These are extreme users. But in terms of teens, the jury is still being developed, and I'd be very curious to see this 10-year study that's going to come out in approximately 2032.
This is interesting. Wem, how long have you been in the healthcare business?
25 years.
So in your and have you been in Massachusetts for most of that time?
Yeah, the entire time, and I work in addiction medicine.
Okay, so here's a good question for you, and you don't have to give me hard numbers here, but anecdotal is good enough for the purpose of this conversation. Since cannabis was legalized for recreational use in Massachusetts, have you seen same, less, more teens where you are?
The problem, as I'm sure you can imagine, is having people divulge what their use actually is. But yeah. Anecdotally, I would say that there is absolutely an increase. It's just like kids getting adults to buy cigarettes or booze for them. They get adults to buy in the dispensary, and then they either buy it in the secondary market or they steal it from mom and dad.
Very interesting call. Thank you very much. Thomas Wynn Stanley, I'll give you a chance to respond to that.
No, of course. And Wim, thanks for the work you do. Obviously, substance abuse is something that really has to be taken very seriously, and especially around the emergence of a recreational cannabis market. I think from our end, Massachusetts has probably some of the strictest guardrails around cannabis purchasing in the country. Everything from 3+, 21+ ID checks before coming in. And certainly what we understand that we really want to make sure that we're creating a safe and healthy environment for those who are purchasing cannabis. We do that with education around the types of products that we're offering. We try to give as much detail around the effects and efficacy of certain products as people are purchasing them. And ultimately, part of the reason why we have such a restrictive program is to ensure that folks who are buying from a recreational dispensary, we are testing every single product through third-party operations to know, is there any adulterants in this? Are there any adverse, you know, toxins or metals or anything like that? And I think part of it is we are hoping that over time that folks start to come to dispensaries to understand the contrast of buying from, let's just say, the black market, where you do not have as much control or knowledge around the product that you are receiving. And so we certainly think over time there is a lot of responsibility, not just on our end as the providers, but also for those who are purchasing to ensure that they're keeping their child-safe contained products in places that are not accessible to those who are underage. And we are not that far off from the alcohol industry in certain ways, where this is a new market that we want to make sure that folks are being responsible and not providing to minors or anything like that. We take great steps in our operation to do everything within our power to foster that future of cannabis that we want to see. And certainly, I think over time, to Mark's point, we have not done enough research around cannabis. And the main reason for that is because it has been classified as a class one substance. And we really hope over time we do start to dig in on this research and to learn more both of the positives and some of the negatives of cannabis in a social fabric. And certainly some of the research we are seeing today in terms of opioid usage reductions or alcohol consumption declines, some of these things are positive harbingers of the emergence of legalization. And so we certainly hope to see those trends continue. Until then, Siri Wellness really prides itself on making sure that we follow every single regulatory condition to a T to prevent any adverse implications around this product being out in the market.
You know, I want to talk to you about the regulations and specifically the quality testing in a moment or two, but let's take a call or two first. Thomas Winstanley is here from Theory Wellness. Mark Aronoff, who wrote The Cannabis Craze, A Practical Guide for Parents and Teens, which takes a look at the psychology behind adolescent use of marijuana. Let's go back to our phones, 800-348-2551. Marta is in Poughkeepsie. Marta.
Hey, Ray. Thanks for taking my call. Happy spring. I'm so happy that finally New York State has legalized marijuana. Of course, it's one of these long, drawn-out things. I understand we won't even be able to buy it here for like a year unless you're getting medicinal or CBD cannabinoids. But I think it's so ironic that, you know, earlier this morning on your station, I was listening to a debate about whether or not the U.S. can afford to spend $2 billion to clean the lead out of our water systems all over this country. Right here in the city of Poughkeepsie is a place like Flint, Michigan. So they care so much about the youth and what their brains are being exposed to. We're breathing lead in the air pollution. We're drinking lead in the water. And it seems to me you're like so worried about mental health. How come we're not worried about the microwaves that they're talking about spending $100 billion to roll out broadband for companies that are trillionaires? I mean, Ray, come on. We all need to smoke a joint. And I'd like to add that it does help with COVID.
Okay. Well, you certainly have a lot to unpack there, Marta.
I mean, it's vintage, right? Right.
Yeah, I gotcha. Hey, Marta, thanks a lot for the call. Anybody want to comment on that?
I do think it's always a question of you're always going to find a case for how we spend our money. I would like to hope that they're taking care of the water in Poughkeepsie as soon as possible.
Fair enough. The number here is 800-348-2551. Let's grab one more, and then I want to talk to Thomas Winstanley about the state regulations and the vetting process for the quality of the product. Let's now go to Philip in Montgomery, New York. Philip.
I totally forgot my question.
Oh, my God. All right.
You want...
All right. Well, thank you very much. Not going, okay, we've had some strange calls today, but that's all right. Thomas Winstanley, you said that the commercial cannabis, and there are so many outlets in Massachusetts now, and, you know, you'll see them in New York whenever New York gets around to, starting the process, and in Vermont, perhaps, in Maine, I think it's already underway. Do you have state regulators and inspectors come in regularly and just say, okay, we're checking this out, we're putting this in the Bunsen burner, and we're checking out what's in it?
Yeah, so to parse that out a little bit, so we do have the Cannabis Control Commission is the oversight board in Massachusetts, and they handle everything from the regulations, the licensing, everything from front-end retail to product manufacturing. And cultivation.
Yeah.
So they are the governing body that we work with very closely across everything. Separate to them is the third-party testing labs across Massachusetts. And what happens, just to shed some light on this process, every single plant that we grow at Theory Wellness as a vertically integrated company, which really means we call it from seed to sale, every single plant that comes through our cultivation facilities has a unique tracking barcode. Now, that barcode stays with that plant all the way to the front of the retail store. So if one plant becomes an extract or an edible or just regular flower, that flower's life cycle is tracked through state systems. And part of that is when it comes ready to retail, we have to go and have these products tested through these independent labs. And they are screening for everything, everything from, you know, any type of adverse toxins, metals, fungus, everything that could have an adverse implication for an end consumer. If a product does not meet the rigorous standards set forth by Massachusetts, those products are rejected and sent back. For consumers who are coming to our store and purchasing, when they get these products on the label, there are very clear percentage breakdowns of the THC content, the other types of cannabinoids that are included in the product. And really, this is all comes from a means of transparency for any consumer purchasing a product. And really, part of what this does is it creates a very close-knit supply chain for any vertically integrated company or front-end retailer, with the whole goal of protecting consumers and making sure consumers understand these products. And this is a very, very crucial part of our process to be able to bolster a safe product that is not available on the black market. And so this does create a lot of work, but it's also for the right means for the consumers who come and visit us, or any dispensary that is.
Thomas Winstanley joins us from Theory Wellness. Mark Aronoff is here, and we're taking your cannabis calls at 800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Cannabis Today with Mark Aronoff and Thomas Winstanley. The number is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. And Mark, Maria in Pittsfield has one for you. Maria writes, can you speak more to the topic you just mentioned about couples potentially having an issue when one of them regularly checks out, so to speak, with marijuana? There's a fine line between recreational smoking for enjoyment and smoking out of habit to the point of missing out on key elements in life. And that is from Maria in Pittsfield.
Absolutely. Great question. So one of the most significant detriments to any marriage or any relationship for that matter is what we call escaping. And it can happen in a number of ways. It can happen through simply not being present and dismissing the partner through other activities. But the balance point of how you connect intimately as well as communicatively and is essential. And like any substance out there, marijuana is not harmless entirely. We haven't really talked too much about the existential, that is the quality of one's existence in relationship,
to others and relationship to oneself, and the potential danger. Maria, to your point, if your husband or your partner is escaping to a degree that you feel is detrimental to the relationship, you have a valid concern. And I would encourage you to hopefully have the either wherewithal or opportunity to speak to your partner. You know, with any multi-billion dollar industry, there are elements that we're not going to know the effect of for years down the road. And it just kind of dawned on me as I was listening to some of Thomas's statistics. And we're in a really kind of wild west of marijuana right now. There are a few hundred dispensaries, and I believe a few thousand are in process trying to open. Where do we draw the line? Is it going to just keep increasing, increasing? Will it be zoning? Well, so to your question, Maria, I do encourage you to communicate, however, and hopefully you'll have a positive response.
All right. The number here is 800-348-2551. We discussed cannabis today with Thomas Winstanley of Theory Wellness. And you guys are in Massachusetts. And are you in any other states, or is it strictly a Massachusetts entity?
Actually, we did just open this past October our first retail location in South Portland, Maine. Since then, we've also added another location in Waterville. And ironically enough, tomorrow is our grand opening for a Bangor location. So we are expanding in Maine as well as in Massachusetts.
Interesting. Were the regulatory hurdles markedly different in Maine than in Massachusetts?
You know, there's always going to be nuance based on the markets and what the needs are for those markets. For the most part, they are relatively similar. And I think what we're actually starting to see as we progress in this industry, there's a lot of communication between the states who are moving forward with regulatory policies. I know that there was actually a group from New York that worked with the surrounding states to learn more about the pros and cons of the legalization and the impact that it had in the states as well as the local municipalities. I think, again, over time, without the federal oversight, states are going to be at the behest of their governments, and then it will also come down to local municipalities to also have a say in the discussion as well. I think that's the beauty of democracy, and I also think this is part of the natural trend of where cannabis is moving into. And I think we're getting to a point now where you can look at research from the Pew Charitable Fund. They're saying that I believe it's about 91% of Americans are supporting medical cannabis nationally, and something to the extent of 62% for recreational cannabis.
All right.
No. So I think, you know, again, as we start to see policies come forward, there will always be nuances that are generated by the towns, the municipalities, and the states that are going to have different needs as you look across different borders of neighboring states, so on and so forth.
Without giving anything away, and I know that there are business priorities and you have to keep them quiet, will Theory Wellness be making an attempt at some licenses in New York State?
I think there's a lot of opportunity across the board. I think part of it really comes down to is what makes sense for us as an operation. I think what we are really excited about is we believe that cannabis access is for all, period. If we can help contribute and move that forward, we're certainly going to look into the opportunity that we have as a company to help advance that primary goal of our operation.
I mean, the primary goal of an operation, though, is to make money. You almost sound like a religion when you say that.
Well, we do think we are a very young company. We operate much closer to a startup. We actually, our two founders really got into this business because, you know, they were cannabis advocates. They saw the future of the industry, and they saw the harm that was done in the history of cannabis regulation. And I think a lot of that is we have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
ACLU has some very important statistics around, you know, people who are of color are 3 times more likely to go to jail over minor possession. There is a very large social equity imbalance that needs to be adjusted. And so for operations like our own, we know that we have responsibility to be a voice in that. And so any opportunity that we have to progress ourselves, we know we can help progress the industry to a place that we think it deserves to go. And so when you ask about New York or any other states, we would be crazy not to be looking at other opportunities.
Fair enough. Let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. Marianne is in Albany. Marianne, you're on.
Hi, thank you. my question is, what form, you know, if this gets passed in New York State, what form would it be sold in? I mean, I'm thinking of, would it be mainly like cigarette form? And then if it is that, I would question, the responsibility in terms of smoking around other people.
Yeah.
You know, who...
you make a point.
Have a problem with people smoking.
Yeah, no, you make a point. Thomas, what forms do you guys sell in general, and not just Theory Wellness, but any chain in Massachusetts?
Well, one of the benefits of the legal market is we're able to manufacture lots of different cannabis products. So, you know, in the market today, there are regular flower, which is just the buds of the flower. We do have pre-rolled, what you're referring to as, rolled cigarettes of cannabis. We have pre-rolls, but then we also have things like edibles, topicals, vaporizers, and we even, at least Theory, just launched a cannabis-infused seltzer as well.
I'm sorry, so, what?
Yes. Exactly, a cannabis-infused seltzer.
Of course, all right.
And it's actually been a really, really exciting product, which is very new to the market in Mass. But again, as the market starts to take hold, we're actually creating more and more products to meet the consumers where they are in their journey. So depending on what your appetite for consumption is, there are products probably to meet you where you'd like to feel them. When it comes to your question about exposure to secondhand smoke, you're probably going to find as municipalities in New York and in other states start to draft regulations around consumption of such products, there are going to be provisions in there. A lot of what we see in Massachusetts are privately owned residences have the right to designate consumption, but in public or shared places, obviously smoking and vaping and a lot of these things are prohibited, not entirely unlike tobacco use. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye out, certainly, as this starts to progress in New York.
All right, let's go to Frederick in Great Barrington. Frederick, you're on.
Yes, you speak of access to all, but one area that seems to be lacking, in my opinion, is that one cannot buy a young plant to grow it at home or in one's own garden. Why do you not offer starter plants for consumers?
Oh, that's a great question, Frederick. It's something that we're looking into. It is not something that is currently feasible at this point.
Why?
Certainly from a regulation standpoint, it is not currently regulated. Operationally, it becomes also challenging because the way that the state actually measures mature plants versus clones or smaller plants is based on height. Being able to quality control that becomes difficult, but obviously there is a disconnect because Massachusetts residents can have up to 6 plants as an individual or 12 in a household. So it's something that we've actually talked about, that we've looked into, and hopefully over time that some of those walls might come down, because certainly growing cannabis is a lot of fun, and I can share that from personal experience myself.
You know, that's very interesting because we got an email from Chris in South Amherst who says, dispensaries are expensive. Growing your own is cheaper. Do you feel that will cut into that market that you and so many others have carved out in Massachusetts?
It's always possible. And honestly, I think cultivation is something that is really exciting. And we love that Massachusetts allows for individuals to cultivate their own plants. And I think certainly it's up to a consumer. They're not exactly set and forget, and they do require a certain level of work, care, and tending. However, we think, again, cannabis access is for all. So growing cannabis plants is a lot of fun if you do it in a way that meets the requirements of the state, which is I don't believe they can be visible from other folks' properties if you're growing them. There are limitations on the numbers that you can grow. And so, I think over time, I wouldn't be surprised to see that clones would start to show up, or cuttings, if you will, in dispensaries. But when you go to a dispensary today, you can see these dispensaries are not necessarily calibrated or built to sustain live plants in the spaces that we're in today. So that could be something in the future to keep an eye out for. And to be honest, we don't necessarily see that much of an impact on our business that we've noticed in terms of self-cultivation versus buying from a dispensary.
It's Cannabis Today on Vox Pop. Mark Aronoff is here. He's the author of The Cannabis Craze, A Practical Guide for Parents and Teens, which takes a look at the psychology behind adolescent use of cannabis. Thomas Winstanley is here from Theory Wellness in Massachusetts and now in Maine, and who knows when it'll be in New York. Rob in Catskill. Rob, you're on.
Good afternoon. I have kind of like a two-part question. I was in California 3 years ago, and I went to a dispensary, and I purchased a 60-milligram piece of hard candy for $4. Okay. Last week, I was in Arizona. I purchased at the dispensary a 500-milligram vape cartridge of THC for $40 with tax.
Wow, you got
around. The same thing at Theory Wellness cost me $75. Why is Theory Wellness overcharging?
Now, we can't really talk prices in public radio. That is one thing we can't not do, but we can talk in generalities. Why? Now, he makes a point, and I think this is a point that people say with regard to the black market and why that will always be a thing. Prices are high. Is this due to taxes, or what exactly is going on?
Yeah, so Ray, I actually think.
All right, man, just wait, Rob. Just wait. Go.
Well, I think it's a fair question, and I certainly think when people start to look at the East Coast market and they see the prices, eyebrows are raised. And Ray, I actually believe that this was a question that was asked the last time we were on the show as well.
Probably.
So to break this down a little bit. So first off, Massachusetts is, you know, was the first state to legalize cannabis recreationally. Maine came in second here. And so part of it is, one, the market is driving the prices. This is not a, you know, a one dispensary versus another. There is a general market rate on the East Coast. And a lot of that is due to, one, the supply chain. Right now, we are producing for almost the entire East Coast. If you were to think about it as there was one liquor store, one place that sold liquor on the East Coast, you could guess that the demand would increase the prices because the supply is low. So this is very similar to the tulip curve of Amsterdam and Holland in the 1600s. And so what we're really seeing is that the supply is not meeting the demand, and so the prices are very high. Furthermore, the cost per entry to enter into the cannabis space is exorbitantly expensive. And so there is an imbalance, but over time, one of the benefits that consumers are going to see as more states start to legalize, those prices will come down as the demand starts to meet, or the supply chain starts to meet the demand of the consumers. And right now, that imbalance is raising the prices. And again, over time, we're hoping to see that come down because we know how expensive it is. And then the last thing to add on top of that is a 20% sales tax. So I believe it's 3% goes to Great Barrington, at least in our Great Barrington store, and the remaining 17% includes an excise tax to the state. 20% is a very, very high cost of goods. However, the return on those goods also is going back to these communities and can be used for a lot of different allocations. So I think as you start to see in more mature markets have lower costs because they have more product. As product starts to ramp up to demand, those prices will come down. We've been looking at this for the last 2 years saying prices have come down, but the demand has sustained. And so I think the markets are going to ramp up. And certainly we know that consumers over time are going to start to pay less.
Mark Aronoff, we only have about 15, 20 seconds here. But, you know, what are you looking at in your role as a counselor and sort of one who watches these things? In the next year, what are you looking at very quickly?
Well, people like Maria, who spoke to a partner who was escaping, you have an abuse of the a substance, which may not be the actual problem, but it's the object of this person's escape. We have to look at individually just who we are. If we choose to enjoy marijuana, is it recreational, or have I taken it a little further into a escape from reality? I'm not really as functional, as productive, and as articulate as I might be otherwise. So it's really a personal question. Who are we? Where are we at with our recreational use of marijuana?
Hey, man, thanks a lot for being here. Mark Aronoff, we appreciate it. We will talk to you soon. Thomas Winstanley of Theory Wellness, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
You betcha. Support comes from Adele Shafridi Studio and Gallery, a jewelry store in Rhinebeck featuring in-house design and handcrafted fine jewelry with an emphasis on bridal and studio-made jewelry, Shafridi.com. Eddie Senior Living, independent living for active seniors, terrace communities for seniors in need of a little extra assistance, add memory care for seniors with Alzheimer's, Eddie, E-D-D-Y, SeniorLiving.com. And Real Pickles, a worker cooperative in Greenfield, Massachusetts, producing organic, raw, fermented vegetables sourced from Northeast Family Farms and found throughout the Northeast, RealPickles.com. Interesting program. Thanks to Thomas Winstanley and Mark Aronoff for being here. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Thank you for emailing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Wes Burton took the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Hey, you know, tomorrow on the show, Chef Bill Collins will be here. There'll probably be no discussion of cannabis. So any of you people who are complaining today, you know, maybe you just give it a miss tomorrow. All the rest of you, see you at 2:00.